Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Man saved, there's no righteousness, even the law of Moses could not give it. There's no moral standard anywhere that can make somebody without, except a person believes in what Christ has done. He said, if you believe, it's so simple. He said, how does a person get saved? He said, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, and you confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. It looks too simple to be true. But really, that is the truth. And that is why sometimes too, when we look at some things that the Bible, speaks for us, sometimes they look too good to be true. So it's difficult for us to believe. That's why most of the time we tend to push those things, to some afterlife, or we, push them to, just give our own timeline. Why? Because those realities seem far-fetched that we cannot hold on to them. But the reality is that what God, like I said, if God says a thing, it's better for us to believe it. Even if our experiences do not align with it, we should still believe it and say, well, this is what God says. Irrespective of what my circumstance and my situation may be like, I'm holding on to the word of God. And that is the basic of faith. Hallelujah. And it's, funny enough, you said that sometimes we don't even know these things. Sometimes even these basic things are not established in them. That this is what the word of God says, holding on to the word of God and standing on it and holding on to it despite the circumstance and the situation until the word of God prevails. Our experiences are supposed to line up with the word of God, not the word of God lining up with our experiences. We don't interpret spiritual from the natural. We can take, but it is our understanding of the spiritual that we can bring into the realm of the natural and say, well, this is how things should be. Of course, we can learn from the natural. But the natural does not fully describe the essence of the spiritual. You can't use your, of course, like Jesus said, he said, no man, that if any of you are a father, if your son asks you for fish, you won't give him serpent. If he asks for bread, you won't give him stone. But that will not describe the full essence of God's fatherhood. It's much more than that. Though we can learn from the natural. Because everything in this realm has already been corrupted. Yes, everything in this realm has already been, even fatherhood according to men is corrupted. You have to go back into God to really understand the full concept of what a father is. Because sin has altered everything. He has altered all nature. There is no nature that sin has not altered. There is a corruption that is in this realm. There is a corruption that is in this system. That this system does not originally look like what it used to be. So even when Jesus was telling about marriage, he said it was not like that in the beginning. So even marriage was affected. Everything was affected. So if we really want to understand what things really to be, then we must be able to journey into God and really understand the true essence of things. That is why he now says that when the sons of God are revealed, there's going to be a restoration. Even the creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Hallelujah. So one of the things that we must also see about our issue of kingdom, apart from sin, apart from the consequence of sin like greed, by which we have peace. Okay, I also talk about access. But I also want to talk about the issue of fear. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. This one is not working. Romans 8:15. What does it say? Is it? Okay, let me take from verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, is this mic working? But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Okay, I think I also touched about this last week too, but I didn't go into details of it, that we have not received the spirit of again to fear. And we saw this in Genesis, where Adam said, I heard your voice. Hallelujah. So he hid himself. But he said, now that fear is in connection to God. And we said that one has now been taken away. But there is an other aspect of the issue of fear, which is not pertaining to God. Let's see 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. 1 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. From which some having... Okay, yes. Let me say, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, yes. I don't think this is where I wanted. Okay, 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Talks about the spirit of fear. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, yes. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, yes. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You see, okay, let's look at another scripture, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 16. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, yes, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let me still give us one or two other scripture. give us Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I hope we have started reading our Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse, this is Luke 2. Luke chapter 1, where is it? But let's take it from verse 67. Luke 1, 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesying, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people, and had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophet, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to see something here, that we cannot just... Now, looking at the issue of the children of Israel, The transition into service will not be possible unless there is, first word, a deliverance from their enemies, unless there is a freedom from fear so that they can serve. Let's look at that scripture again. That verse 74. That it will grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Now, of course, we know that one of our responsibilities, one of our duties as God's people is the issue of service. But now, it's clear here that we will not be able to bring service if we are distracted. And one of the distractions that in that service is this issue of fear. God told Pharaoh, one of the things that God told Pharaoh is this: let my people go that they may do what? That they might have me. That they might worship. Let's look at verse 69. That's in Luke chapter 1. Verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up an arm of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. You need to understand, see, now, because you're wondering, what's the connection between this and the issue of kingdom? Now, you understand that Israel did not truly, come into kingdom until the reign of David. Hallelujah. The issue of kingdom came in when David came in. That was when Israel understood what was kingdom. And as a matter of fact, that was the last time Israel really understood what was kingdom. Because after the reign of David, it's called that by the time David left, in fact, they had to divide Solomon. I think Solomon had the 12 tribes. But after Solomon, the kingdom was divided. Hallelujah. But you understand the strategic assignment that David came to fulfill. He said he had visited and he had redeemed his people and had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Why? What's the essence of that? You know, as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophet, which have been since the world begun, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Listen, where God is going is not about the enemies and those who hate them. Where God is going is actually service. But they cannot arrive in service when they are still distracted or when they are still under bondage and captivities. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying this evening? So when God raised David, David established the kingdom. In fact, there's one of the in either Kings or Samuel, all the nations round about them were paying tribute to Israel. Why? Because they were conquered. There was no kingdom that could rise against David. All the time David was king. There was no insurrection. Everything he held. And that was his job. Now, when Solomon came, why? Because God was taking them. Look at 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 4. You have to patiently follow me this evening. 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 4. Look at what Solomon said. But now, the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. What did verse 5 say? And behold, I propose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. David had to prepare the ground for Solomon to be able to build, not just in terms of providing resources, but in terms of establishing the kingdom. Ensuring that all the enemies were put in subjection so that Solomon could build. Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to put together this evening. I'm saying that in the time of Solomon, Solomon had peace. Why? Because David had fought the battles. David has fought the battles, he has conquered all the enemies, all the Philistines, all the Edomites and everything. They were all in subjection under the time of David. Now it was when, in fact, the kingdom began to split from the time of Solomon. Why? Because it was under the reign of Solomon that Jeroboam. That was when Jeroboam went to Egypt. So that was when the foundation was laid. But in the time of David, David had the kingdom in full grasp. That is why they will always still refer to David. Hallelujah. So what am I trying to say in essence? What I'm saying this evening is that if we are entering into the kingdom, one of it is the establishment of peace and order, God putting into subjection distractions, enemies and opposition so that we can serve. Give me that Hebrews 2:15 again. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15. And deliver them who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let me tell you something. If you truly look at churches that are advancing, how do I put it? I'm trying to find a way of, you discover that most times people make progress in knowledge when they understand this aspect of their deliverance. I want you to check, just observe and watch. It is either some people are advancing in life or some people are concerned with demons and devils. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying this evening. It is impossible for you to make spiritual progress if what you are still fighting is battles. God told David, you can't build. He said, your hands are filled with blood. You fought too many battles. So, but now, don't worry. Your son, I'm going to give him rest. You fought the battle. He's going to build me a house. There's going to be proper worship and service. That's what God told David. That's what God told him, because we need peace to build. Hallelujah. You need, now Jesus didn't say that the storms will come when the house was in building. He said, I will show you the person that is wise. He said, he that hears my word and obeys them. He said, it's one that, you know, that built his house on a rock. He said, then after that what? The storm what? So the house was built. Then the storm came to test what? The building. Hallelujah. Now, we are not saying that we are not going to have issues, we are not going to have challenges or all that. But what we are saying is that as seasons in our life, we must understand this thing that if you are not delivered from your past, you can't press into the future. So we must understand this. So our coming to kingdom also implies that we have been delivered from everything that has to do with where we are coming from, with oppression and affliction and all those things that characterize the realm of darkness, so that we can make advancement into light. There are people that will use all their life to fight devils and fight enemies. They cannot truly know God. The devil is a distraction. Look, give us Luke 1 again. I want to establish this thing. Luke chapter 1. Maybe from verse 68 or there, but Luke chapter 1, verse 68. And No, Luke 1. We have read it before now. Luke 1 to 6. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Yes? Be fast. And have raised up an honor of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Look, this is where salvation begins. Take us back. He said, he has raised up an honor of salvation. Talked about strength. In fact, most times, on depends military strength. Now, when you look at the book of Daniel, you talk about a lot about horn. Horn. It talks about military strength. It talks about kingly authority and power. And I raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Yes? As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophet, which have been since the world began. Yes? That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Yes? The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Yes? That he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now, we cannot claim that we are kingdom people when all our attention is given to fighting battles and taking care of devils and fighting poverty and fighting sicknesses and fighting diseases and all those things. All those things we delay and distract. It is the manifestation of the king. Jesus even said it. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will do what? He now said what? Take my yoke. People don't take yoke upon yoke. Jesus didn't say, he didn't promise to give yoke to people that are already bearing yoke. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? He said, come unto me, all you who are weak and what? Every lady, I will do what? I will give you rest. He now said, then take your yoke from me and learn of me. That is the first entrance. That is the first sign of salvation. When people come, like I remember many years ago, it was, what's the name of this pastor? Scripture Pastor Christian Center. Pastor Luby Johnson. He was one that said that, that in their church, when people get born again, they cast out devils, they do deliverance from them, and then, yes, you can now begin to. Why? Because they will spend all their life. That is why, now you look at the Christianity in Nigeria. Look at, you see the kind of things, it's either people have, it's household wickedness, or it is lack and poverty, or it is. That is why we are not making much progress in life. There will not be true service. Why? Because people are constantly distracted. So God is saying that. So when you come, the ministration of the kingdom that is offered to you is that you be delivered from all your fears. So if we are still subject to fear, if we are still, Christians still live under the fears of curses and spells, your journey is going to have issues. Your journey is going to have issues. You are going to be distracted. Now, I'm not saying that those things doesn't exist. But what I'm saying is that there is a provision in the kingdom to free you and move you forward. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that curses don't exist. I'm not saying that people don't have family problems. What I'm saying is that the reason why such is like that is that we have not come to access the provision that the kingdom has given to us so that we can move forward and seek God. Hallelujah. There's a difference between, don't say Matthew 6 says that, all this is the Gentiles seek what you eat, what you eat. He didn't say that you should cope with demonic possession as you follow God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying this evening. He didn't say that you are supposed to be under afflictions and oppression of the devil and at the same time be coping with God. Why did Paul? Paul showed us an example. He said that a servant of Satan was sent to befriend me. He said, 3 times I sought the Lord that he should take this thing away from me, meaning that I'm not supposed to accommodate it. Meaning I'm not supposed to accommodate it. It's not part of God's counsel and God's purposes. One of the reasons why people are not serving God is because they are under the hold of fear. And so they give their attention to those things rather than seeking God. And so the kingdom is not prospering. Don't forget, I'm not saying that all your challenges and all your troubles and everything will be taken care of and then you will not have any challenge as you follow God. No. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that the fear we are supposed to have. Look at Isaiah chapter 8. Give me Isaiah chapter 8. I don't know why I'm hammering so much on this. Okay, let me take from verse 9. There's a picture. Associate yourselves, all ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Guard yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Guard yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me, that I should not walk in the way of these people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this book shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. This is the New Testament pattern. The Lord should be your fear, and the Lord should be what? The Lord should be your fear, and the Lord should be what? Your dread. Hallelujah. The Lord should be your fear, the Lord should be your dread. Satan should not even be your fear. Satan should not even be your dread. We are not saying that you are careless, but we are saying that it is the fear of God that is supposed to rule you. Any other fear that has existence in you is not according to the original kingdom pattern. You must move out of it. So when we come into the kingdom of God, we are stripped from every fear and everything that holds us bound so that we can be released to worship and have. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Colossians 1, 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How many of us believe this scripture? Do you understand? Do you believe this scripture? He said, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So meaning that I'm not supposed to fear whatsoever is coming from darkness. That's what he's saying. He said, we have been delivered from the power. Now, the word power is not dunamis. The word is exousia. Meaning right to control, right to influence, jurisdiction. Meaning I'm no longer under the jurisdiction of darkness. Darkness does not have right of influence over me any longer because I have been translated into the kingdom of God's Son. So something is wrong if as kingdom people we still live in fear of what the enemy can do. Hallelujah. You know, I told you when I started this teaching that I want to just deal with certain basic things and established things that can be of help to us. Because these are the things that constitute a distraction in people's life from time to time. If we know that if there's anybody here and you feel you are something is wrong, you are living under any kind of hold or fear, what I'm saying tonight is that you have provision in the kingdom for freedom and deliverance. It's just you that you are not accessing it. You are accommodating what you are not supposed to accommodate. Luke chapter 11 verse 20. Luke chapter 11 verse 20 says, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." He said, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." It means that one of the manifestations of the kingdom, one of the expression of God's kingdom, is that there is freedom. An atmosphere where the kingdom of God is ruling, there is freedom from everything that has to do with the oppression of devils. A kingdom family is free from devils. That's what I'm saying. So devils don't have a right to ravage my home. If I truly say that I'm a kingdom person and my family is under the oppression of the kingdom of God, then this oppression should be seen. He said, "No doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." Hallelujah. We have been called to serve God. We have been called to do His will. When we are talking about serving God, we are talking about doing His will. That Matthew says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," what? "On earth." Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven. Meaning that when the kingdom of God comes, every opposition gives way. Everything that has limited and hindered the oppression of God is removed. That's what he's saying. That kingdom come, that will give us Psalm 110. Let's look at this Psalm 110. Psalm 110, let's take it from verse 1. Psalm 110 verse 1. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Meaning that in the day of his power, every opposition will be beaten down so that his people can respond to service. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying this evening. Said thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Why? Because all the fears that have held them bound as the what? Has been removed. So there is freedom to serve. There is nothing that we are afraid of. Amen. How many Christians have compromised because of fear of poverty and lack? I don't understand what I'm saying. There are some people that have good heart. There are some people that don't wish they do some things they do. Eh? But they are afraid of lack. They are afraid that they will not be able to pay their children's school fees. I don't know what I'm saying. It's not as if they want to obey God and do God's bidding. But there are certain things that are constituting fear to them. They look at it and like, if I do this now, how will I be able to do this? How will I be able to do this? How will I pay school fees? So they are forced to walk in disobedience. But he says in the day of his power, his people will be willing. Why? Because everything that constitutes fears and everything that holds his people down will be, there will be a deliverance and freedom from those things so that the people of God can respond to God in worship and in service.
So the kingdom of God comes to us and ministers deliverance and freedom from all this fear. So that nothing, I'm not afraid of anything, I can give myself only to serve God. Hallelujah. This is very, very important. And I think I've done a lot trying to stretch it. That we can actually do more than what we are doing today. Why? Because of fears and limitations. Look at what... Now, that's what Paul was telling Timothy. Take us back to that 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me close this matter very well. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That verse, is it verse 6? Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands, yes? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind, yes? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, Timothy was somebody who had gifts inside of him. He was gifted. Paul had laid hand on him. You know, he knew that he had certain capability in him. But the young man was not expressing the fullness of what was inside of him, not because of any personal limitations, but because of the external circumstances that were influencing his release to God. So he said, stir up the gift of God that is in you. There is something in you. Stir it up. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be afraid of the afflictions of the gospel. Release yourself. Release yourself. So, whether it was the fear of afflictions and persecutions that were holding him back, Paul said, release yourself. Why? Because Paul had already journeyed past all those fears. That was why when they told him, when Paul was going to Jerusalem, and they were telling him, you are going to be, we see stripes, we see imprisonment. He said, come, you people, forget all this. Why are you breaking my heart? He said, because I'm not only ready to be persecuted, I'm also ready to die. You can't beat that kind of a man. There's nothing you can do to stop him. Say, because I'm not only afraid that I may be in prison, I'm even ready to die. But Timothy had not journeyed to that place. He was still subject, you know, he still had such fears and all those things, but he was still, you know, but he had things inside. So thought that the kingdom of God cannot even find full expression in us because of the limitation that fear has imposed on us. Whether it is demonic or it is through circumstances that are around us. But there is deliverance. And that is in the kingdom. That's what I'm saying. That two kingdom people are only subject to the fear of their king. You know, I said kingdom talks about free citizens. They are only subject to fear. At least I'm a Nigerian. I'm not really afraid of what my fear is, what Nigeria as a nation can do to me. My fear is not about other countries. Why? Because I'm a free citizen in as it is. So kingdom people are only supposed to have the fear of the king and the Lord alone, not any other, because they are free. Tell your neighbor you are free. So we are not just to say that we are free, we are to walk in our freedom. So the next time you are to serve God and limitations are coming up and things are coming up and say you can't serve God, you can tell them in the faith and say, come, I'm a kingdom person. I am not limited by any fear. Why? Because I have been delivered to serve. So if anybody come and say they see what people have left God's will. Why? Because somebody told them. Look. You know, you can imagine somebody that they have told that come, and God has spoken to you that this woman is the person you should marry, she's going to be instrumental in your life, in your journey, you know, and all that. And then somebody comes to you and tells you, that family, they have issue with epilepsy.
See? Or they have one something. And then people have left their convictions. Why? Because of testimonies of demonic presence. I know what I'm saying this evening. And it's like I'm not living that. Maybe because I'm not yet there. People have left assignment because of fear of what devils can do to them. And now, that doesn't mean that is not true. Well, I don't know about it. Papa, I later got to know that maybe his wife had, they have problem in their family. Maybe if they had known before marriage, maybe would have. Are we really sure we want to? Hallelujah. That's why sometimes God will not allow you to know, so you won't know some things until you are there. So when you are inside, at one bed, we have to fight it. You have to fight it and you win because you have won. So what I'm saying is that don't let any fear stand between you and doing God's will. You see, for instance, the kind of work I do, which I really wish I won't continue for too long. But many times I've asked myself, if I'm the head of my department and they come with something that I should do, and I know these things ungodly, do I have the strength to say no? Okay, take for instance, one of my head of department sometimes told me they brought 5 million. And instruction from the governor, that 5 million is meant for thugs in the local government to settle thugs. And then in his name, they will look for projects for that 5 million, but the money was given to thugs. And in his name, he will sign the money. And then I asked myself, am I really? What will I do? Close to me was, and things like that happened. I was going to say, really? So I would say we built something, and then we'll go and look for receipts. You know, that's what they call retire voucher. You go and look for receipts, how many bags of cement you bought, that you didn't buy anything, you actually gave the money to thugs. Because... Of course, why would you put it there that the money was? But you know you can say no. You can say no. But that no must come from strength. And then it actually comes from a person that is also fearless. And a person who has worked in integrity and equity. Because they go and look for something you have done 5 years before to come and fight you. Now, I'm trying to show us what the things that limited us and bind our hands, that we cannot truly serve God. But a man that is free from the fear of losing his job, a man that has been delivered from the fear of imprisonment, a man that has been free of anything, you can't do anything against a fearless man. If you tell him, if you pass that place, something will happen to you.
You say, okay.
If you tell him, if you jump up like this, wind will just blow you away. You say, okay. You can't stop him. Most of the things that stop us are all kinds of fears that Satan used to ravage our minds. Even our knowledge. Even science has given us fear that has even limited our response to God. But listen, I'm saying this evening,
I think it's a good job, well done, if we can do that.
Because we will not truly
Now, our generation has not even experienced what is called persecution. So we don't even know that aspect. Our generation is like, the generation of Solomon. David fought the battles. And then, there is great peace. Now it's time for us to be building. Because the storms are still going to come. Now, the reason why we are not seeing much persecution right now is because we are not set for that. God is giving peace so that the world can be built. But the truth is that we are not even... Now, look at what... It has always been a strategy. When Nehemiah was building the temple, was it the temple of friends? Which one? No, was it? No, it was wall. It was building the wall. Call the name of this fake prophet that came to him and said, come. They are coming to, they are planning to come and kill you. He said, you should run. And then Nehemiah said, with such a man as I, flee? And he said, no. And he stayed. Why? They wanted to use fear to stop the work he was doing. But because he understood that God was with him and God, and he was on God's purpose and assignment, he said, no, I'm not going to run away. And then he stood and that wall was built. Hallelujah. We have no cause to be afraid. Why? Because in the kingdom of God, there is provision to take care of all our fears. Don't let, when God has spoken to you expressly and said, this is what I want you to do, don't let the fear of anything stop you. I'm not saying that you should walk carelessly. I'm not saying if they tell you, if somebody come and tell you that, I was telling this afternoon. I said, 2 months to my wedding, when we have already printed cards, a colleague came to me and said, they called me and used one proverb. They used the idea, what Nathan did for David was what they did for me. You know, Nathan came to David, and in there he said somebody had one animal like that, and then a poor man had one. Then the king said, David said, they should kill that person. And I said, you are the one. You left, you had many wives. You could even have more. You went to take the wife of your servant. So David himself judged. So they brought a parable like that to me, and I said, no, this person is not supposed to do this. Then I said, yes, actually, it's me. That my wedding, I have to postpone it. I should not do it now. Because some things are going to happen that will really show, that will reveal certain things. Let me not lie to you. There are some things you should not hear. Because they are gateway for devils. As that message is just coming, one devil is just flying with it. I had to call, I called Pastor Ayo. I said, Pastor Ayo, this, as I said, that is rubbish. That sometimes God doesn't, if God wants to speak things like this, that it should come from somebody who is close to you, or somebody that has been, that has journeyed with your life, that's not just one stranger, someone will come and tell you things. Why did I say that? Because, now, you know there are people that can actually stop every wedding preparation and say, we don't have to ignore signs like this. The sign. There's somebody that Pastor used to make mention of. One of us, he was my senior, he passed through this house too. That was engaged to somebody and left the person and went to marry another person. And then he's having issues with his marriage. And there was a time, I and him, many years back, I'm talking about some years back, was telling me that if I really have some other things I want to do, I should go and establish them before marriage. If I want to do ministry, let me start ministry and then find out. He's talking from experience. You know, one of the challenges he had with the first relationship, I think he got engaged to that lady. Either his own father died or the lady's father died. And then 3 months later, the other father too died. And he said, this thing is not...
And then the mother began to, they began to come up with, then you see prophecies will start coming. And then, you know, with many other things, he abandoned that course. Well, I really don't know, but I'm only just trying to say, I'm not saying that's why he's having issues, but I'm saying sometimes, what's that? Somebody's father died. 3 months later, the fiancé's father died. What's the connection? Does it mean that the journey is going to, the one that their father did not die, does it mean that? And even if there is something, listen, even if there is something, the true definition of kingdom people is you can stand and say no longer. That is when we are exerting the true authority and power that we have. Kingdom is not in mouth. It's not for preaching. It's for expression. That's what I'm saying tonight. And I'm using different examples to paint what I'm saying. That such, well, in its power, if that was the issue, but really, and that, like, yeah, Nidali used to say that he now called his mother-in-law that their wishes, maybe the wife of the mother-in-law are wishes. Now, this one's now wishes. They are wizard, Abby. We have to learn how to stand. We have been freed, we have been delivered from our fears so that we can truly serve God. So that we can do God's will. So that you can obey God. You can, so that you, even when God says this is what I want you to do, you can move. So if tomorrow God says there's an assignment in Borno for you, you can stand and say, yes, I am free, I'm not bound. Whatsoever may happen, let them be killing and all that, I will go and I'll come, I will fulfill God's assignment. Why? Because fear has no hold on you. I don't have time to talk about the fear of death. Our fear of death has limited people from traveling. They don't want all their lifetime subject to bondage by the fear of death. Of death. Hallelujah. We are not going to allow anything to stop us in the pursuit of God's purpose. Amen. We are not limited by the fears of men. The fears of men should not, we should be free from all of those things. They are. All, the only thing you need to be sure is that am I where God wants me to be? Did I hear? Did God speak to me? Am I sure this is what God says I should do? Then you can generate sufficient strength to harness the authority and the power that you have in God to take a stand. Hallelujah. My time is already up tonight. I think it's just essential that it's just good for us. It's not where we are. There's no place we are running to. So if, like I began with, if we can take little things and really talk about them and look at them from different perspectives, if that would be better, I think it's good. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. That was a Sunday message, actually. It's a message everybody should hear.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.